Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus, thinking of how people wrongly use the light. I remember in the book of Job how the scriptures tell us that there are those who are the adulterers, and they use the light to spy out a house in the daytime, and so that at night then they go and they want to use their knowledge and to commit more adultery. They want to commit more sin. We have the light of the Lord and the light of God's Word given to us so that we will know how to please Him and that we will not be ashamed at our appearing before Him in that day. There are many who will use the light that the Lord gives. Let's say, for example, some will use their understanding of matters and use that to deceive people, to lead people astray, rather than to know how to please God. And such who have more understanding than others and wrongly use that understanding, these will be held in greater accountability unto God in that day. The Lord didn't give you talents to hide under a bushel basket. He gave you this understanding so that you might best and better serve Him, so that you will testify of His greatness. And yes, there are people who will use the strength that God gives them to run away from the truth. And I think of how that there are many who know that a person is a Christian, and when that Christian comes, they will use that which God has given to fabricate lies or to mobilize themselves to get away from the place where they're going to hear the truth. You tell people, you say, you know, if you're doing visitation and knock on doors and hear them and they say, oh, yes, I will be there at church tomorrow. And we go back and we're waiting for them to come through the doors, to darken the doors, and they never show. Go back and say, I missed you. Oh, yeah, I was coming, but I got sick. I know one time I called a man who said that he definitely wanted to come to church. And when I called his house, someone answered the phone and says, he's not here. And I said, well, I'd just like to leave a message. And it was very early in the morning, Sunday morning. I said, well, just leave a message and tell him the preacher called and wanted to just keeping my word, wanting to come pick him up. So, oh, wait a minute. Let me check. Let me go see if he's out in the back. And a few minutes later, the lady comes back to the phone. Yeah, he's here. He comes to the phone, and I said to him, I said, oh, good morning. I'm glad to be able to talk with you. I didn't think I was going to get to talk to you. He says, yeah, I was still sleeping. Now, I don't know if he was sleeping out in his backyard or what, but the truth certainly didn't come across from the one who answered the phone. And I have tried on several occasions to get in touch with that man. And then some have said he doesn't live here. The man he wants to get to church. I've gone by to visit with him and a number of things come up. So people are using their abilities to fabricate lies, their ability to reason, and they will tell a lie. But they're reasoning wrongly, because they're using their strength, their minds, to fabricate a lie and helping someone stay away from the blessings that God has for them. It grieves my heart that people will do this. See someone, they see the preacher coming. Oh, I've got to go. I just remembered I'm supposed to go to work. And then you walk into a crowd where they are, and they suddenly remember there was something else they were supposed to be doing. And they stood and they, you know, these are things that people do. They wrongly use the gifts that God gives rather than using the light to live for the Lord. Father, we pray that we would have boldness today and see people turn from darkness unto light and from the power of Satan unto God. Help us to be faithful in our calling for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's continue today in the Gospel according to John, chapter 16. Indeed, we have been encouraged, I have, by what the Scriptures tell us about this matter of the Lord comforting and giving us counsel about how we are to live and prepare for Him and prepare for what is ahead. He tells them this in verse 5, "But now I go my way to Him that sent me." Now, you notice the Lord Jesus didn't come on His own accord. He came to do His Father's will, and He did His Father's will. And He says, "Now I'm going back to Him that sent me." Now, it would be a bad thing for our Lord if He were sent by the Father to do something and He had not done that, that He would go to meet the Father in shame. Now, the Father turned His back on the Son because the Son was bearing our sin. He became sin for us. But when the Son finished that offering of Himself up unto God for our sins, then the Father, of course, was well pleased with the Son because the Son became our offering to God. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Son of God, became sin for me, for you. What love that He could have. The Holy Son of God, never ever having experienced sin, was willing to do that for people who would sin and care nothing about Him, reject His love, being an alien to God. He said in verse 5, "But now I go my way to Him that sent me." You see, He was on His way to the cross. It was not just something that happened along the way and in which He had no control. He was from the baby in the manger. He looked to the cross. He had a straight walk there. Every deed that He did was a deed pointing to the cross, to the power of God demonstrated at that cross. Every miracle that He performed showed that He would conquer death, hell, and the grave. Every blinded eye that He opened, every lame leg and foot that He healed, withered hand that He healed, every demon He cast out spoke of His power over all things. And He said, "I go my way to Him that sent me." You know, we're going to have to give an account unto God ourselves for our work. Now, He is not giving to us this matter of offering up ourselves unto God as a sin sacrifice. No, we offer ourselves unto Him as obedient servants. Now, as an obedient servant, we may be called upon by God to give our lives, but that is not in payment for sin. You see, there is nothing a man can do to pay for his sins. I heard someone ask the question some years ago when truth was presented, that we are saved by grace and grace alone. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done. That one asked the question, "You mean that if I were to go into a burning house, and in the process of going into that burning house to save a little child, save the child but lose my life, or in the process of saving the child, die, you mean that wouldn't get me into heaven?" That is correct. It would not get you into heaven. Nothing that you can do of your own power and strength can erase your sins. You must accept God's gift of His Son as your payment for sin. See, two things are spoken of here. When the Scriptures tell us, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior," what God is saying is this, and I cannot say it all, but I want to just point out two things. First, He is saying that we are so bad that he himself had to provide a Savior for us. And secondly, he is saying that sin is so powerful that we ourselves cannot do anything to undo it, to undo sin's power. And thirdly, he is saying that God himself is so holy that only his offering will satisfy the holiness that he demands. And we will have to give an account unto God for what we do. Number one, as Christians, what we have done since we become a Christian. And number two, for those who are unsaved, you heard the gospel. You see, when you cast your eyes toward heaven, or you feel the gentle breeze blow across your face, you hear the singing birds in the trees, you know there's a God. And this God is the God that made you. And every time you pass by a funeral, a grave, or a funeral procession, you know that you could be there. And you know your day is coming. And you know you're going to face God. And you have thought about it. And you've pushed it away from your mind. And you've said, not me, not today, not now. I don't want to think about that right now. And then every time you've driven by a hospital, every time you've walked by one, every time you've heard the report of some tragedy taking place, it's been a warning. It's a warning. It's a warning. It's a warning. The flashing light, the red light on the dash is going off. You must do something. God is giving out his message that you will have to give an account to him one day. And you know, as I say so often, God knows what you know. He knows every experience you've ever experienced. He knows what you know, and he knows of every experience that you've ever experienced. And you can't say, but I didn't know, because he was there. He was the one working, and you were laboring diligently to push down him and push away his truth of the fact that you've got to give an account unto God. Yes, the Christian will have to give an account unto the Lord, because the Christian is going to have to appear at the judgment seat of Christ for our works, not for our sins, for our works. You see, Christ paid it all. Jesus, the Son of God, paid the sin debt. And God is no longer angry with the Christian anymore. All the other religions of the world, you're hopeless. The only hope is in Christ. He's the only one who arose from the dead and offered up himself without spot to God. What you're trusting in, the one who came along talking about how great he is, he didn't rise from the dead. You can go to his grave and dig through his ashes, through his dust. But you won't find that with Christ the Lord. He arose from the dead. He's in heaven. And he is the one who will judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead, those who've been washed and born again, made into a new creation. He'll judge our works. But you, as a sinner, you will have to experience his wrath if you go out of this life without trusting him. I want you to trust Christ today. Open up your heart. Ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you and to save you and accept his gift of salvation. Father, I pray thee to work today in someone's heart. Speak mightily, we pray, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Join us again for another program. I'm Willie Thompson.